Hi, welcome to the Solution for Success Show with Nashville Success Summit. Today we're speaking with John Dayani, who is the CEO and founder of GOBA, which stands for Get Out, Be Active. As you know, we strive to bring in business leaders from the community who have knowledge that they are willing to share with us, and John has a ton. It's a great conversation, and I am sure you're going to get some nuggets of wisdom from his journey that you can use in your business as well.
GOBA is Get Out, Be Active. So what's the concept behind that?
Sure. The idea that originated the company was basically inspiration from the fact that in order to kind of get together with your real friends in person was quite an ordeal, even despite social networking. You know, so if you wanted to grab dinner, or in the active case, you know, go for a run with a bunch of friends, right now you're sort of left to either creating an email and CCing everybody. That's one venue. Or you can go to your text on your phone and text everybody. That's another opportunity. Or you can call everyone personally and ask them if they want to go for a run. And all of it is extremely inefficient. We realize that social media doesn't really provide a great way to mobilize your friends to get out and do things. So what we wanted to do is try to figure out a more efficient way for me to, say, for example, create an opportunity to go for a run tomorrow morning and then more efficiently be able to hit up my friends that would also want to run and garner their response. That was the idea, and it's just morphed into a lot more. As a startup, you have an idea, and you kind of vet it out, and either it picks up momentum or it doesn't. And this one picked up a lot of momentum. And then, you know, once you go from idea to creation of the company, it starts taking a life of its own. It's like water in a stream. It'll just kind of pave its way to going downhill.
You started this, a little over 2 years ago now? Is that correct?
That is exactly right.
Okay, and how did you get it started? So you had this idea, you knew what you wanted to do. Was it just you? Were there a group of people that were kicking around the idea? Or, you know, how did it go from being, this is a cool idea, to I'm really going to build a business out of it?
So the idea was birthed out of a meeting with a friend who's in healthcare, and we were sort of talking about the angst of social media and its ability to really help people connect offline or with real friends. Social media does a lot of great things, but it's deceptive about connecting you relationally, because we believe that relationships grow in person. So yeah, I had that idea, and I kind of went looking for a solution that didn't exist. The more I kind of looked for the solution and realized it didn't exist, I felt like there was an opportunity there. And based on the other experience, you know, I knew I needed somebody to, you know, from the technology standpoint, design and program and create this. I don't have the capability anymore to program and do those sorts of things. So I started talking to friends about the idea, and they started getting excited about it. So then I went from there to go, all right, well, you know what, I need to find somebody who could program it. And I went into it looking for a programmer who would do it for free. And the reason was is because, you know, I've paid folks to do stuff, and I just don't know enough about programming to know if they're doing a good job. So I figured if they did it for free, one, they would be efficient because, you know, you don't want to waste a lot of time trying to bill me hours if you're not getting paid for them. And two, if they were willing to do it for free, then I would know they were also passionate about it. And so I started hitting up programmers that I knew and friends who knew programmers. I talked to three or four programmers who actually liked the idea, but they couldn't afford to do it for free. A friend of mine came to mind who was a programmer. We went to lunch. He had thought about something similar. And that went from lunch to we started meeting in the summer of 2009 at a local coffee shop at 7 in the morning every Tuesday morning. He brought two senior level management types to the breakfast. They got excited about it. So it went from just the two of us to the four of us. I began to network with some other folks that I had known, both in the way of senior management, entrepreneurs, and sort of the investor types, to vet this idea. And one of them recommended that I speak to an older gentleman who has, you know, been in the internet space for a long time, and also has done some startups and raised some capital. and he happened to be in Nashville. And so I went and took him to lunch. He got excited about it and started showing up to this coffee. So if you can imagine, between friends getting excited about it, mentors, and then, you know, we started having this collection of five of us meeting and discussing this opportunity. And ultimately, the older gentleman that I had met with at lunch and then started joining us, he looked at us at all at one point during our coffee and said, guys, I believe this idea has legs. We should raise some money and give this thing a chance. He was one of five of us. The other four of us kind of looked at him. I don't know if we were amazed, but we hadn't really kind of broached that subject. And almost instantaneously, we went from talking about it and building this idea out to transitioning our minds to raising capital.
And how long do you think that was? Was that like just over the course of the summer, or was it even shorter than that?
Those coffees were over the course of the summer. So we began to sort of transition, well, what's the best way for us to raise capital? I created a list, pretty exhaustive list of folks. If I were to raise capital, who would I call? And this is a list that I haven't been keeping per se, but it's just, these are folks that I've known in my short 20-year career as a working man, of just contacts that I've kept and know well. We did a couple key things. One, there were sort of four of us who were the core behind, if you will, the potential management team of this business. So the four of us took a day and kind of got away and did this sort of brainstorming. We kind of laid out the idea as a whole, with kind of the potential for what it could look like several years out. And then one of the things that we did that I think has just been key since is we kind of recognized what are the talents that each of us bring to the table? What do we like to do and what do we not like to do? What came of that is we all sort of complemented each other. Things that I wouldn't want to do, one of my partners did want to do, and he enjoyed that, and I didn't. So, you know, it really worked out well to kind of go into this figuring out who's going to do what, who's going to be responsible for what. We went from there to creating an executive summary that kind of laid out the idea. Several of us had folks in the technology field out in Silicon Valley and Seattle and New York that we kind of wanted to say, all right, you know, we think it's a great idea, but let's vet this with some folks who are in the industry. They all scheduled phone calls with these subject matter experts to vet the idea and got a really great response, which then encouraged us to keep with it. So after those calls, we created a business model as well as a presentation to complement it, which really played out as our business plan, which is we had financials, a pro forma, and we had about a 12-page presentation for use with potential investors. We scheduled our first pitch here in town on I believe it was a Tuesday before Thanksgiving. The week prior, we had two meetings. We had a morning meeting where we basically took a bunch of friends and we did a practice pitch on them. And we basically, you know, did sort of role play. Hey, you've got lots of money, you want to invest, and we're going to present and try to convince you to invest in this. So we did a morning pitch. During lunch, we kind of took the feedback, made some adjustments on the fly, and then we had an afternoon pitch, basically of the same thing with a new set of people. By that Tuesday, when we had our first real pitch, we had probably pitched the concept three or four times. And it ends up that between Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2009, we did about four or five pitches, and we had interest from four of those folks. And everyone's like, you know, you can never raise money between Thanksgiving and December. We didn't close on the funds then, but in January, I got these three or four major parties into one room and said, hey, all of you have expressed interest. We'd like to go ahead and move it from expressed interest to creating a term sheet. They had a third-party person who negotiated the term sheet on their behalf. We spent 90 days working out the term sheet and getting everything squared away. And in May of 2010, we secured our initial round.
Okay, so even when I said you started in May, you really had a good solid year's worth of work in before that to get this up off the ground.
That's right. Could it be done faster? Absolutely. But, you know, for our startup, that's the path, you know, it took.
and it worked for you.
Yeah.
I guess, so the question is, looking back on it now, if you were to do it over again, if you were to advise someone who's just getting started, what would you suggest that they do the same? same or different than what you just described?
You can anticipate or have your vision for, like, how fast you want things to go, but, you know, they're going to take their own life. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it. Sort of a level of commitment and passion that drives that. My strongest recommendation, I've had the fortune of talking to friends about this. I've had the fortune of sort of walking with other folks and friends in the same process. And ideas are a dime a dozen. The idea that we had wasn't necessarily unique. All along the way, it was our assumption that someone else is doing this very same thing somewhere.
Okay.
We didn't think that we had discovered the one and only Holy Grail that was going to change the universe. So that kind of keeps you on your toes and keeps you honest. But again, ideas are a dime a dozen, and execution is everything. If you're going to raise money, it's going to take more than just a really good idea. It's going to take a really great team around you to execute it. And it's going to take investors who are buying into the notion that this is a new, possibly a new concept. You know, this is a startup. There are risks involved, but we believe in the idea, but more importantly, we believe in the team that they can actually execute the idea, and they believe that they can actually help the idea grow and get off the ground. If you think you're just going to do this on your own, you'll die in like 90 days just from the stress of it all. There's so many moving parts. You want to partner with great people. Not only partner with them, but also figure out who's going to do what. On the front end, you'll save yourself a lot of headache on the back end.
When I talk to people who have gone through any kind of process where they've built something, it's never been on their own. It's always been with a team of people.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, I've been amazed as I've had the luxury of meeting with a lot of people who have done just tremendous things, especially in the way of businesses and created, you know, large organizations, publicly traded, and just done all these great things, you know, with generating more revenue than I can imagine. And at the end of the day, whether they admit it or not, at some point in the story, which is all we're really doing, each individual is their own story, and each startup and each company is its own story. It takes a life of its own. Some pages and some chapters are better than others, and there's a lot of pages and stuff that doesn't get written about that, you know, are just hard. But ultimately, there are always key people along the way who have done key things to help people achieve great results. It's never one person and their greatness and their own smarts or street smarts that accomplish anything. It's all these different folks that come into play throughout one story that culminate to great things happening. And even still, just because you got funded and just because the idea is birthed and it's a great idea and you've got a great team doesn't mean it'll necessarily succeed. My father always says, and I completely agree, time is money and money is time. So if you're going to give your idea a chance to form itself and actually find success, you're going to need time. And nothing buys you time like money.
You made it to the point where you established this team of leadership that was going to help you build this, and you got the investors to back you. Now you had to make it real. So then you change gears completely and go into this mode of development, of turning this into a product, while at the same time you're marketing it, right? You're getting the word out about what you're building and drumming up interest. So you have to totally change hats now from raising money to raising interest while at the same time getting the product built. So what did you learn along the way when you were doing that?
Once the money hit the bank account, I was expecting fireworks and just, you know, this sort of sense of arrival. That didn't happen. In fact, once the money hit the account, it was like, oh, crap, here we go. Now we got to execute. To your point, you know, all of a sudden you've got to make this mental transition. So we didn't have the app and the service and everything ready to go once we had the money. We actually got paid to create it. The summer of 2010 was interesting because it was more about our technology architect, the co-founder, actually finding the right people to create this. The good news is that only took 3.5 months to go from idea to our first version of the product. We looked at who are we targeting, how are we going to target them. We had brought on marketing help. We outsourced some marketing help and had an intern that helped us with our marketing efforts. But there was really nothing to market at first, so we actually kind of just paved the foundation to try to take advantage of SEO strategies and targeting strategies, both, you know, primarily online, while they were programming and creating the service. If you wait till it's just perfect, you've waited too long. which kind of gave us a little peace of mind as we launched our beta product, or I should say our alpha product, which, you know, in hindsight was very rudimentary. But if it wasn't for launching it, we wouldn't have known how to create something better.
Right. So you actually have gone through then since then cycles of iterations of adding to your product and changing some of the features and that sort of thing.
That's correct. So, you know, in 3.5 months, we launched our Android, iPhone, SMS, web, mobile web, email product. All worked seamlessly, but it was just unusable. So all the technology on the background was great, but trying to figure out how to use it was not. But we didn't really turn on the marketing efforts at that point either. We stuck with folks we knew and getting feedback. And it took about 3.5 months after that to get what we would call a version one product. But the market and the industry just is moving at light speed. Other people were coming out with similar apps, but not so similar, and kind of always dreaded the consumer-oriented tech blog that would come out and with somebody who's doing exactly what you're doing and going to crush you. And again, all that keeps you on your toes. By the time we had our public release available in Q1 of 2011, we were able to start turning on the marketing engine a little bit and figuring out who to market to, how to market, which was great because then we started getting some feedback from folks that we did not know. It was fun to watch folks using your product that you didn't have to call to tell to download. And then we started finding out where the hiccups were in the product outside of our own experience. Just kind of get into this create, analyze, and refine. And then we started identifying ways to generate revenue at that point.
So it wasn't until after you had the product built that you started looking at some additional revenue streams from it?
From the beginning, we kind of had figured out, you know, we wanted to create a platform that folks could use to better engage their audience, because we decided that the way brands and businesses engage their audience now is through websites and social media. There's so much volume on the web and especially in social media that it's hard to really engage and get anyone's attention. And we thought we provided a great way to get in the pockets of your audience and engage without all the noise and distraction that social media presents. And we kind of went into it, the business, with that mindset. And then, you know, once you had a product, and we could start figuring out what that would look like.
You're talking now about having some complete game changers in the direction you're taking the company as opposed to when you first laid out your business plan. Can you talk about that now in the transition?
So in Q1 of 2011, we came out with sort of our version one, and then we started approaching companies and organizations to say, hey, listen, here's what we do, and here's how we can help you engage. Are you interested? And we found an interest in some universities and some other folks. And as a result, we started evolving the way our app should be as far as interaction and how do we make room and help these folks engage using our service. The summer of 2011, prior to that, we decided we needed to change the look and come out with version two. And what was nice is one of the universities was willing to pay us and be a part of that. And that really helped drive a lot of the usability of the product and kind of got us motivated to create version two. Along the way, you know, we launched version two in the middle of the summer, and I received a LinkedIn correspondence from a large telecommunications company in charge of trying to find technologies that would complement their business model. This LinkedIn email requested a conference call to discuss, you know, our technology and their interest in it. And so we're executing the model. We're trying to raise more money and trying to figure out where to go and how to grow our business. All these things are happening at the same time, and then we get this email from a telecommunications company that says, hey, we're really interested in your technology, would like to talk, which was fortuitous timing, which kind of goes back to the story and, you know, everything kind of has its own path.
It does, but it would also says a lot for you and your leadership that you're open to making all these changes along the way. So each step of the way, you were readjusting. and doing something differently and reacting, even from something as simple as reviewing your presentation before you met with investors. You got feedback and adjusted, and the same thing with the product, and now you're getting feedback from the market about how this product best fits into the marketplace, and I think that says a lot for the style of leadership that you guys have in your company.
Well, thanks. I will say that we ended up having that conference call before August was up, and they said, "This is, you know, what we're looking for is a technology that does exactly what yours is doing." And one of the questions I asked before we kind of ended the phone call was, "Well, you know, if indeed you were commissioned to find this technology, do you mind sharing with me what you found and what else is going on out there?" And we were really encouraged when the response was, "You guys are about 6 months to a year ahead of everybody else." It was a testament to the fact that we created this piece of technology to help drive connectivity, you know, private connectivity centered around doing things, getting out and being active, if you will. And in hindsight, it's always easy. But, you know, even though we were sort of struggling and trying to figure out how to drive consumer adoption, there was a core piece of technology that we had created that someone else had found valuable. And thanks to all the efforts of the team, and our marketing efforts and, you know, just really executing, that afforded us the ability to be seen and found by someone that needed the technology. And if it wasn't for the investors, that money and that investment, those dollars not only helped create that and drive that exposure, but it also bought us enough time to be found. Had we run out of money in July of 2011, I'd have never gotten that email. Back to the expression, you know, time is money, money is time. The idea, in order for the idea to find success, it needs time.
It needs time to grow its legs and stand up and, you know, get past those wobbly stages.
That's right.
I think that's a phenomenal story. It's a great story. But what's next for you? Are you keeping the company and selling off the technology? Are you selling the company? So what happens next to Silva?
So right now, as the year ended and that conference call ended up becoming an executed partnership as of December of 2011. By the end of the year, 2011, we had recognized what we felt like we needed to do in order to drive more broad consumer adoption, you know, with the same technology that we've created, which would require a lot of money and pursuits to drive that consumer adoption. So we had that as an option, but the other option was to recognize the fact that there are people out there who could leverage our expertise in technology in order to drive their own mobile engagement strategies, much like this telecommunications company. And the telecommunications company, by the way, provided a really big stamp of approval to the fact that we've got a great team, we know what we're doing, and we can execute that strategy for folks. We're basically in the midst of transitioning out of a business that's interested in creating consumer-oriented product for ourselves and into creating engagement services and products for larger clients. And really, it's a software as a service model that has a lot to do with engagement in a world that's extremely mobile and is tethered to their mobile device. Yeah, it's 90% of the population, I think, has a mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
Of those folks, 80% or more text, and roughly 50 to 60%, you know, have a smartphone, and that adoption is only growing. And so what we're seeing is just this rapid adoption. Internet usage through mobile is far greater than internet usage through computers. And that transition has really happened over the past 12 to 18 months. I would say right now we're in the midst of this massively growing market of mobile. The ability to create an app as opposed to a website that allows folks to engage and interact, you know, directly with you, clearly taking off. We're kind of focused on really being a big player in that space. There's lots of different opportunities and a lot of different ways this could go, and unless we have money to survive, it's irrelevant. My focus is either generating investment or revenue, both of which are money, to give us the ability to see it through and exploit opportunities that
you're definitely in the right place at the right time. Like you say, all of the trends are leading towards mobile. You've got technology out there that other companies haven't figured it quite out yet how to tap into like you have. So you're poised for some phenomenal growth. It's just exciting just to hear what you're doing and all the things you've got going on. And I'm sure it's nerve-wracking as well with the speed at which everything is moving.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny that, you know, it's fun. In hindsight, I think your brain selectively chooses to remember all the good pieces and talk about, you know, you've made it this far. But I can tell you, you know, 12 months ago, there were times where I showed up to work and thought, I don't know what tomorrow holds or if it holds anything. Like, but again, we were able to last long enough for us to find opportunities and for them to find us to get us to this point.
Let me just ask you, if you look back over everything you've been through, what advice would you give to someone who's just thinking about starting? Someone who's where you were 2-3 years ago, who's got a great idea, but they don't know how to make it into something real, or maybe they've started and they're starting to hit that mode that you described where it's really hard to keep going.
Well, if you have an idea and you think it's got legs and you really care about it, then the ability for it to happen exists. You've just got to really uncover every rock, talk to people. You got to hear the good with the bad. You've really got to flesh it out. And the more you flesh it out, it'll either die or it'll continue to gain momentum. If it's meant to be, it'll be. And not just because you're excited about it, but because others are too. To anybody who's got an idea, then I would say search it out. Figure out how to make it work. What I tell folks is, you figure out what you need. You may need money, and that's fine. But, okay, if you've never raised money, then you need people to help you who have and who can help you do that. And they're out there. And I wouldn't be so afraid that someone's going to steal your idea, because the more you look into your idea, the more you'll realize, boy, this is really hard. So if someone's going to take it, it's going to be hard for them too. And you've already got the jump on them. Competition is not a bad thing. It keeps you on your toes, and it makes you better. You can tell me what you want. I'm not really out there to take people's ideas and try to do them on my own, because I know all ideas are hard to execute. And then, you know, for those who are out there and sort of banging their head against the wall, wondering if they're going to survive, two things that help. One is to realize that, you know, life goes on whether it succeeds or not, whether an idea has success or not. And so there's a bit of, there's a calming nature to knowing that it's all going to be okay. But secondly, if you've got an idea and you're executing, it's to really sit down. My recommendation is always to sort of steal away into a quiet room and let your mind, one, identify the hurdles and then try to identify a way out or where to go next. Make sure you have a support group. Hopefully that's folks you work with. And if it's not necessarily folks you work with, you know, hopefully you have friends and mentors that you can talk to kind of bounce ideas off of. One of my board members has become a really good friend, and he's got a startup. We go back and forth sharing with each other the ups and the downs, and he tells me his downs. I'm able to see it with fresh perspective and can make some suggestions or introductions for him that help him, and he's able to do the same for me. One of our core beliefs at GOBA is that, you know, we were created to be in relationship, and that those relationships grow in person. And that sort of pans out in everything that I do, is you need to have friends and people around you that can help listen and who don't have any skin in the game other than helping you and without any biased decisions. There are some good benefits to seeing to a point of desperation, because you start making decisions. Sometimes you make them without clarity, but they also help you make more efficient and make decisions with more clarity. We've had some hard decisions to make here. It's real nice to be able to go, listen, there isn't an option. Either we're in or we're out. But if we're out, here's the implications. And if we're in, here they are. And things tend to happen more rapidly.
Well, that's all great advice. And thank you, John, for sharing that. Is there anything that you want to put out there as far as anyone contacting you, or if there's anything you want to say for people to get out there and experience the service that you're offering?
If you are somebody that's sort of a social director or a social maven, you can download our app, Android or iPhone app. The easiest way to do it is to text the word join, J-O-I-N, to the number 66502. That's text join to 66502, and the rest will take over. if you want to contact me, I'm on Twitter, John Dayani. Twitter's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
That was John Dayani with GOBA, and I hope that interview provided some information that was interesting to you as it was to me. As always, you can get the transcript and you can download a copy of this audio from our website at NashvilleSuccessSummit.com. Just go to the expert interview section and you can get a copy of this interview as well as all of our past interviews. Till next time, take care now.